How alpha male of you. What did you do? Rough him up in the parking lot? Break a limb? Tell me, tell me, tell me. His brows draw together. No. Spin. Double spin. Would you stop that? I mean it. He ignores me. This isn't some juke joint or riverbank in Mississippi. This is the corporate world, sweetheart. We don't fight with our fists. We fight with our lawyers. It's a lot more painful than a black eye. Trust me. I hit him where it really hurt.
If you had hit him in the nuts, that would have really hurt. I'm just saying.
He grins. Well, the next time I have to defend your honor, I'll try your approach. Spin. Spin. Spin.
You're gonna make me puke on your shoes.
Nah. His lips form a crooked smile. I'll just spin you toward Cam and let you puke on his shoes.
I wouldn't do that. I like Cam. I'm not sure if his frown is real or not.
I thought I was your that guy.
Yeah, but Cam told me I was pretty. He whistled at me, twice. I've even been called a vision tonight. And stunning.
His eyes darken. Spin. I want you to forget everything Briggs said to you tonight. Even that.
Maybe I could if I had something better to remember.
He shakes his head. So needy.
I shrug. I am needy. I don't care that he knows it.
He licks his lips. Gives me a solemn look. Just like he did the last time he almost said something nice to me. Do you remember when we were sitting on my couch and you said I could have my pick of women? That you didn't know why I needed to hire someone?
Yes.
Well, you were right. I could have chosen any woman in Chicago to accompany me here. Instead, I chose you. Do you know why?
Because I was your only option. I've already told you this. Remember? In the car on the way here? When I said Cam told me and you said he had a big mouth?
I remember. And Cam's full of shit. That's not why I brought you.
So why did you bring me?
I saw the dress. His eyes sweep me from head to toe. This dress. Spin. Spin. I don't scold him. I'm too anxious to hear what he says next. While you were on the phone with your mother, Alfred brought it up. And I just couldn't get the image of you in it out of my head. That's why I asked you, Penelope. Because I had to see you in this dress. Then I did. And in that moment, I knew there was no fucking way I was coming to this party without the most beautiful woman in Chicago on my arm.
Go away, weird feeling. Go away, go away, go away. Take them flapping-ass butterflies with you, and get me some water for this dry mouth, and a tissue for my watery vagina.
I don't know what to say. Spin, twirl, spin, spin, stop, dip. Nothing, Penelope. You don't have to say a damn thing.
I'm hovering above the floor. He's leaning over me. His arm muscles stretched tight against the fabric of his tux, those lips slightly parted and a hair's breadth from mine, gray, blue, green penetrating. His nose skims my nose, our breaths mingle, mine labored, his controlled. He straightens, pulling me with him. I'm lightheaded. More from his admission than the spins and awkward bent back position I was just in. I don't let go of his arms. He doesn't release me. He stares 1 second longer, then turns toward the gathering crowd and smiles. I lick my dry lips, trying to control my breath, slow my heart, smile, not look like a love-struck idiot. It's harder than it sounds. Then a flash of color appears, and the strange feeling dissipates, replaced with overwhelming excitement at the sound of the Irish-accented voice.
So I hear someone has some pretty badass dance moves.
12. No, Cam, this isn't Cowboys and Indians. You don't make the pew-pew sound when you pull out the finger guns. You can make that clicking sound with your tongue and wink, but that's it. We're in the back of the limo. Me and Victoria, Cam's date, on one seat, Cam and Jake on the seat across from us. Cam shoots me with his finger guns. He makes the pew-pew sound, blows the smoke off his revolvers, holsters them, then tips his imaginary hat.
That's how it's done, little lady.
I laugh so hard my side hurts and I lean against Victoria. She cringes and edges away from me. I laugh harder. Cam laughs too. I guess he's confident he's getting laid tonight no matter what he does, since he paid for it. Jake, on the other hand, he doesn't laugh. Actually, he hasn't said or done a damn thing since we got in the car, other than fuck me with his eyes. At the party, he was a completely different person. We both had too much to drink, but Jake handled it better than I did. Where I'm carefree and charismatic and awesome all the time, it took him an ungodly amount of fancy liquor to get that way. After Ed's performance, I'd shown him my river dance moves. He showed me some of his own. Jake seemed proud to introduce me as his date. We laughed, danced, joked. He kept his arm around my waist when I was near. I leaned against him just to feel his grip tighten. Then I'd watch as he ignored whomever he was talking to look down at me and see if I was all right. When he discovered I was, he'd smile. Sometimes he'd wink. And I'd get that feeling. But now that he's gone silent and brooding and all sexy eyes, I have another feeling. It's not warm. It's hot. Fire hot. Horny hot. Crotch about to set the seat on fire hot. I shake it off and turn back to Cam. You ready for the next one?
Yep. If it's good, you get the guns.
He shows me his finger guns.
If it sucks, you get the fingers.
He flips me both his middle fingers. Put those away, cowboy. This is a pistol-shooting rhyme if I've ever told one.
I'll be the judge of that.
Are we almost there? I'm getting a headache. I turn to Victoria and level her with a look. Victoria, are we giving you a headache? Yes, she deadpans. Well, lucky for you, I have something that will help. Oh, thank God. She straightens in her seat and holds her hand out to me. I shake my head and tisk her. Downside of me drinking? My mouth loses its filter. Laughter is the best medicine, Victoria. I hold my hand up. And before you start getting splinters from that stick in your ass, just hear me out. If you don't laugh at this one, I won't say another word the rest of the ride. She looks doubtful. Really? Scout's honor. I give her the Vulcan hand signal. She doesn't know the fucking difference. Fine. Are your finger guns ready? She heaves a breath, holds up her finger guns, and gives me a sarcastic head jerk. Happy? I almost lose it when she actually holsters them. Cam turns his head to hide his smile, and even Jake's lips curl. Yes, thank you. So, there once was a man from Ghent, whose dick was so long that it bent. To save him some trouble, he folded it double, and instead of coming, he went. Cam shoots up the car. Jake lifts a glass. I look over my shoulder at Ross, who gives me a thumbs up. Victoria is trying like hell not to laugh. And failing. With a resigned breath, she shoots her finger guns. Me and Cam cheer. He points at Victoria.
Your finger guns are so fucking sexy.
Then Victoria gives him a dreamy look and says, I can't wait to swallow your cock. Wait, what? Just, where the hell did that come from? Awkward silence. Even Cam doesn't know what to say. He does shift and groan, which makes it even more weird because now everyone in the car knows he has a hard-on.
Mr. Swagger,
Ross announces our arrival and quickly closes the partition as the car slows to a stop. Poor guy. It's going to take forever to drive across town to Cam's place in this weather.
Don't fuck in my car, Cam. I mean it, Jake says, just as the door opens.
I think I hear Ross mumble a thank you, but I can't be sure. Jake helps me out and holds my hand as we enter the lobby, but he releases me once we're inside.
We got it, Alfred.
He lifts his glass to him and Alfred nods.
Have a good night, sir.
Jake's voice is gravel.
I plan on it.
Holy shit. What does that mean? He keeps a respectable distance from me on the walk to the elevator. Once inside the box of death, I stand in one corner while he stays in the other. I hum my elevator song. It's all off-key because I'm so distracted by the sexual chemistry thrumming between us and all the sexy questions in my head. Is he going to fuck me? Will we do it all night? Like, 6 times? Just like in the books? Even though we're both buzzed and nobody wants to wake up at 4 in the morning with a hangover and sticky thighs to satiate their insatiable desires? I follow him to the door of his apartment. He opens it and steps back, motioning me inside. My hands fidget with the fur on my coat. Afraid I might pluck the damn thing bald, I take it off and lay it over the chair. Then I walk to the windows, because I need a distraction. That doesn't help. I just feel like I'm in a bubble. Bubble. Bubblegum. Juicy fruit. Winter fresh. Double mint. That's the statement of the great mint in double mint gum. I river dance a 180 until my back is to the window. I had a great finishing move, but Jake isn't wearing his jacket. His bow tie is off. The first 3 buttons of his shirt open. And thank you, tuxedo gods, he's not wearing that weird back brace thing.
So it wasn't just the hallway, I see. You say weird shit all the time, don't you?
Yeah, I kinda do. That. A lot. Especially when I'm nervous. He walks toward me. Slow. Predatory. Breathe. Swallow. Pull it together.
Are you nervous, Penelope?
My back hits the wall of glass behind me. He cages me in, one arm braced on the window beside my head as he stares down at me. I can smell the whiskey on his breath. My eyes fall to the glass and he lifts it to my lips. I take a sip.
That's disgusting, I say, trying to keep from choking on the liquid fire scorching my throat.
His lips curl.
I asked if you were nervous.
No, I'm not nervous. Uh-uh. Nope.
Your pulse tells a different story.
He traces my throat with his finger.
Must be the whiskey. Heart, stop beating so hard. Did you like when I kissed you, Penelope?
Why does he say my name like that? Like it's dirty talk. Like we're in the bedroom and he whispers in my ear, "Take your panties off." I shiver.
I'm going to assume that is a yes.
Yes, it's a yes. I liked it. It was good. Great. Good. Yeah. He drags his finger down the center of my chest, the bottom of the glass in his hand sliding over the side of my exposed breast, making me squirm. He finishes off the last of the whiskey and sets the glass on the table beside us. He leans in. His eyes move from my eyes to my lips. Back and forth. Back and forth.
Can I kiss you?
I nod so hard the back of my head hits the glass. I don't even feel it.
Say it.
Okay. Kiss me, Jake. And he does. His kiss is soft, sweet, sensual, erotic. He deepens it, and the whiskey and everything Jake and everything me mixes in the most delicious flavor I've ever tasted. He kisses me stupid, kisses me careless, kisses me into another universe, until Chicago is no longer at my back, but worlds away.
My, 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 Penelope. He breaks away from my mouth to whisper the words against my lips. What a sweet mouth you have.
Thank you. That sounded so stupid. Why did I say that?
For what? The compliment or the kiss? He teases.
Both? Mostly for the kiss, though. I mean, the compliment was nice, but that kiss was really nice.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. His voice dips. But that wasn't the kiss I asked for.
Hands. They're sliding down my waist, over my hips, under my dress, up my naked thigh. He lowers his body in front of me, dropping to one knee in the slowest, most seductive way imaginable. Eyes on mine the entire time as he grabs the lacy strap of my panties and inches them down my legs. He lifts my foot to free one side, then the other before tossing them over his shoulder. With just his fingertips, he makes his way back up my leg, caressing my ankle, my calves, knees, behind my knees, higher, taking my dress with him until it's fisted in those big hands at my waist. He can see everything. I think he likes what he sees. He sure is staring at it hard. I'm blushing everywhere, wiggling with insecurity because his perfect face is positioned right in front of my bare sex. Thank you, wax chick. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those green, gray, blue eyes lift, hazy with lust and nearly hidden beneath his long, dark lashes. When the corner of his mouth lifts in a sexy smirk, I want to eat his face.
Tell me the truth, Penelope. Have you ever been kissed? His eyes dart back to my sex a moment, then back to me. Here?
Oh my God. What do I do? Lie? Tell the truth? Bladder check? Okay, I'm good. So, what do I do? Say something snarky? Say nothing at all? Tell him to quit wasting time and just do it already? Truth. I'm going to tell him the truth, and I won't be ashamed. No.
No what?
I swallow hard. I know what to say here. I read books and shit. No, sir. He gives me a devilish grin.
I meant I want you to say the words, Penelope. Fucking hell. Perhaps that isn't a playroom behind that locked door after all.
I close my eyes and take a breath. The fact that my vagina is still centered in front of his face doesn't relax me or make me think any clearer. Could you please repeat the question, sir?
I did not just do it again. So respectful. That's never really been my thing. But I think I like hearing that word on your lips.
I crack open one eye to see him peering up at me. He's clearly entertained. I'm thoroughly humiliated. And he hasn't even licked me yet. His thumbs draw a circle on my inner thigh. My body jerks and I whimper in the most woeful way. I'm embarrassed, shy, nervous. All these things I'm not used to feeling. And he must notice because he takes pity on me.
Look at me, Penelope.
The grin is gone. There is no humor in his eyes, only feral desire and raw possessiveness.
Has any man ever kissed you here? Yes or no?
I shake my head. No. His eyes drop and he growls.
Well, that's a goddamn shame.
My head falls back, fingers claw at the window in search of something to latch onto. Vocal cords open up, and a cry erupts from deep in my chest. His mouth is on my vagina. His tongue is on my vagina, licking the seam of my sex, sliding between my lips, exploring, tasting, devouring. He shifts beneath me, lifts one of my legs to rest on his shoulder. It opens me up, gives him full access to everything. I moan so loud it drowns out the pounding in my ears. Whatever he's doing to my clit is making me a shameless, horny, crazed maniac who selfishly just wants more of this tongue circle mouth suck lip kiss repeat thing he's doing. My hands find his head, fingers thread through his hair. I hold him steady, right where he is, pleading loudly, "Yes, that, just like that." He groans. I vibrate. My knees almost buckle. His grip tightens. Have mercy. This man is on his knees, making me feel what I've never felt, kissing me in a place I've never been kissed. No restraint, no teasing, just sucking and licking and bringing me higher and higher and higher. I never imagined it could be this good. Never knew what I was missing. But even if I did have experience in this type of kiss, I doubt any man other than Jake Swagger would know how to touch me like he does. How to give me exactly what I need. How to take what he wants, because he knows I want it too. You can paint it pretty and call it beautiful, but there is only one true way to have an orgasm. With reckless fucking abandon. So I do. I don't hold back. I can't. It's not physically possible. But even if it were, I wouldn't. Because Jake Swagger not only expects me to give it all to him, but the man fucking deserves it. He's earned the right to know what he's doing to me. What he's done. How he's taken me from everything I know, away from where I am and everywhere I've ever been, and transported me to a place where the only thing that matters is his mouth, on my vagina. I'll save you the details of my cries and tremors and pulsating waves of exquisite pleasure, and just say this. I come. He kisses his way up my body. Hands slide to my back and he lowers the zipper of my dress. He pushes the fabric off my shoulders and it puddles at my feet. His mouth dips to my breasts. He kisses one nipple while he pulls at the other with his fingers. I tremble. Goosebumps cover my flesh. Not from the cold, but from the aftershocks of what I just experienced. I'm still trying to recover from the best orgasm of my life. And his touch on my oversensitive body isn't helping me come down from this high. It makes me want more. I'm lifted, my legs around his waist, hands still in his hair, his cupping my ass, mouth trailing wet kisses along my neck. My back hits the couch. His big, warm body covers mine. I've wanted to fuck you on this couch since the moment I came home and found you on it. I nod. Yeah, I pant, breathless. Me too. He strips off his shirt. My fingertips skim his chest, stomach, nipples, shoulders. Your touch is as good as your taste. I lift my eyes. He's watching me. On his knees between my thighs. Palming his cock through his pants as I explore him with my hands. I wouldn't know. He arches a brow. You don't know how you taste? I shake my head. I've always hoped it was like sunshine, or rain, or Skittles. But I'm not a very clean eater, and I danced a lot tonight. So I fear it may taste like cheap beer, or armpits, or, heaven forbid, the sea. He laughs. I swear, if your innocence wasn't so damn sexy, or your body this gorgeous, or the way you come so fucking cock-hardening, you could kill a mood with the shit you say. Well, now that's the nicest thing he's ever said to me. And it makes me a little shy, to be honest. I bite my lip to hide my demure smile and look away. His thumb slides over my sex. He gives my clit a little rub, then dips the tip of his thumb into my opening. I whimper when he pulls away, and whimper again when he makes a show of licking and biting the pad of his thumb. He leans over and touches his nose to mine. I inhale, deep. He grins. Ben kisses me just long enough to fill my mouth with my taste.
Well,
I frown. I'm not sure. I can't really put a name to it, but it's definitely not armpits or of the sea variety.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't call it cheap beer or rain either. And sadly, it doesn't taste like Skittles.
Sunshine, then?
Don't be ridiculous, Jake. I roll my eyes. Nobody knows what sunshine tastes like. I really like it when his laughter rumbles against my chest. And when he dips his head to plant a kiss to the side of my throat, I like that, too.
Would you like to know how you taste to me, Penelope?
His mouth moves down my neck, and he kisses a trail across my shoulder.
Oh, okay. Like the sweetest kind of sin.
He kisses his way back to my neck.
Like sexy innocence.
He nibbles my earlobe, licks the shell of my ear, then growls,
like my goddamn kryptonite.
I've been accused of a lot of things. Being someone's kryptonite isn't one of them. I'm not even sure it's a good thing. Nevertheless, it ignites something inside me. I pull his mouth to mine, kiss him hard, inhale my sin, taste my innocence, use that recently discovered radioactive power I possess to force him to give me what I want, which is him, naked, and inside me. My fingers fumble with the button on his pants. He flicks my hand away and does it himself. Then he pushes his pants just over his hips, pulls out his cock, strokes it a couple times. Then, while he retrieves his wallet from his back pocket, I marvel at the big thing that is somehow supposed to fit inside me. Yes, I know this is overused in every romance novel. The "will it fit" line followed up by the "don't worry, baby, it'll fit" response. But seriously, how the fuck is it going to fit? This thing looks like a damn 16-ounce Coke can. Simple vaginal stretching just won't do. I'll have to fucking dilate to accommodate this monstrosity. And that's not happening. Sex? Between us? Yeah, that's not going to happen either. On a side note, I now understand what heroines mean when they say a penis is beautiful. I never thought a cock could be beautiful. This one actually is. Well, for a cock. I mean, it doesn't compare to, like, a sunset or a clear blue sky or the long-awaited birth of a famous giraffe's baby. But to the other penises I've seen, in real life and on TV, it's beautiful.
Hey.
Jake's soft voice pulls me from my throat. Concern is etched on his face.
You okay?
Huh? Oh, yeah. But, yeah. No. That? I point to his cock. That's not going in this. My hand sweeps up and down my entire torso. I'd motion all the way to my throat, but I'm being realistic here. No penis is that big. A slow grin spreads across his face.
That's more flattering than sir.
I lean up on my elbows. Really? I figured you'd be mad.
Because you said my dick was big? Baby, please.
He keeps calling me baby, and I'll let him put that thing in my butt.
I almost came just hearing it.
Want me to say it again, then? Is that how you want to get off? Because I was serious when I told you that this isn't happening. I do the finger point torso sweep again. His head tilts a little, and he studies me with a mixture of hope and disbelief.
Are you a virgin?
Did you really just ask me that? I shake my head at him.
So, no?
No, not no. I was shaking my head in disbelief. It wasn't my answer.
So, yes?
That is a very personal question, Jake.
We crossed the personal boundary when you were pressed up against my windows, screaming my name, coming on my face. I think it's safe for me to ask if you're a virgin.
Fair enough. I'm not a virgin. I've had sex. Not a lot of it, but enough to know that your cock is way too big for me. I have a narrow channel, Jake. He groans as if he's in pain and strokes himself.
That mouth of yours is killing me, baby.
Okay, he can have it. If he rips me in two, totally worth it. Kidding. He can't have it. When a man says, I'm going to ruin you for every other man on the planet, it's supposed to be in reference to him being great in bed. In this case, Jake would ruin me for an entirely different reason. Hot dog down a hallway kind of reason. I'm scared. My admission comes as a shock to me. Why did I say it? Why did I whisper it in a voice tinged with fear? Why does looking at his handsome face with all its softened features make me feel like I said exactly what needed to be said? Jake stuffs his rigid cock that is now sheathed in a condom into his boxers and pulls his pants up over his hips, not bothering to zip them, probably because he can't. He stands and holds his hand out to me. Come on. I take his hand and let him pull me from the couch. He grabs a blanket and wraps it around my shoulders before leading me into the kitchen. There, he lifts me to sit on the counter, pours us both a glass of wine, hands me one, clinks my glass, and takes a big sip. I guzzle mine until there's nothing left. He pours me another one.
Better?
I nod. Yes, thank you.
It's not that big, Penelope.
My eyes roll. I thought we were having a sweet moment. He just wants to get me drunk and fuck me. Have you done research on this? How many penises have you actually seen, Jake?
Probably more than you. And wipe that look off your face. No, I'm not, nor have I ever been, gay. But I am a man who has pissed in a public urinal and watched porn, and may or may not have measured my dick along with all of my frat brothers in college.
And how did you measure up? He takes a sip of wine. That's what I thought. The way he looks at me, curious like I'm a mystery, yet captivated by what he's already unveiled, has me feeling that feeling again. The way he licks the corner of his lip and drops his eyes to my legs has me rethinking this whole it won't fit thing. And when he tucks my hair behind my ear, looks me dead in the eye, and whispers,
You truly are a vision, Penelope Hart.
I swear I can feel my vagina widening just for him. What the fuck am I doing? Is it really that big? I don't even drink 16-ounce cans of Coke. I can't recall the last time I saw one. What do I know? And aside from the fact that I'm sitting naked on a kitchen counter in a penthouse that belongs to Chicago's most eligible bachelor, who just so happens to be the hottest man on the planet, I have an opportunity to get some hands-on, real-life experience with my that guy. This is research. Nobody made the New York Times bestseller list with a book they didn't do some research on. Sigh. The things I do to be a good writer. I finish my wine, grab his glass and finish it too, shrug the blanket off my shoulders, wrap my hands around his neck, pull him to me, lock my legs around his waist, and fist his hair in my hand. Kiss me, Jake. Within moments, we're back on the couch, our movements frantic, mine because I need him, his because he's probably afraid I might change my mind. But that can't be right, because he grabs my wrists, pins them over my head, gives me a long, thoughtful look, and then asks,
Are you sure, baby?
Baby. Gah. If I wasn't sure before, I'm sure now. Please. His mouth is on my nipple, hands cupping my ass, hips grinding against me. He moves lower, lower, lower. That tongue of his finds my clit and performs that tongue dance he's so good at. He slips a finger inside me. I'm a little embarrassed by how easily it slides in. He adds another finger and there's not much resistance there either. It doesn't take long for me to reach that point where I don't care if a small SUV can drive in there. I'm coming so hard, screaming so loud, flying so high, feeling so damn good. I fear I may lose consciousness. He asks me something and I nod. I have no idea what I just agreed to, but it doesn't matter. If I die, I'll go out knowing that sparks really do explode behind your eyelids when you have the right kind of orgasm. You know, I'm ashamed to even look Jake in the eye right now. Because that big Coke can cock of his that I swore wouldn't fit slides right up inside me without anything more than a slow, persistent thrust. Jake does the whole "so fucking tight" speech on a pained cry, and I know it's just to make me feel better.
You have to relax, gorgeous. Trust me, I won't hurt you.
I just stare at him. Really, asshole? Did you have to say it out loud? It's obvious he isn't going to hurt me, because it's also obvious that I'm not as narrow as I thought I was. To humor him, I let out a loud breath and relax every muscle. It's like someone let the air out of me. I just deflate completely and sink about 3 inches into the couch cushions. I hadn't realized how tense I actually was. I hadn't realized Jake wasn't even halfway inside me either. I can't help it. I smile. Big, cheesy grin. You know, because narrow channel and all that.
Pretty proud of yourself, I see.
He pushes deeper and my smile turns into an O. He slides out, thrusts back in a little more, and I groan. The next time steals my breath, and he pauses to kiss me stupid and remind me to breathe before pulling out and burying himself in me completely. Oh, my, fuck. It's so much. So, so much. I've heard this sensation described as feeling full. I'm past full. I'm in cock overload. I can feel this motherfucker in my spine. One wrong move could result in paralysis. This shit isn't natural.
Penelope.
I hope like hell that strangled cry is because he's just come and this is over and he can get out of me while I still have feeling in my legs.
If you don't stop squeezing my cock, you're going to kill it.
What? He chuckles, mutters something, lowers his mouth to mine. I melt. The moment I do, I understand what he's talking about. He doesn't shrink in size. My vagina doesn't get any bigger either. But without the Kegel death grip, the feeling changes. Still more than full, but not at all unpleasant. The great thing about big dicks? They can reach places that elicit sensations most women don't even know exist. Take my word for it, though. They exist.
You think too much.
His hips swivel and I gasp.
If I can't make you forget everything but me, then I'm not doing something right.
You're right. I grin up at him. Perhaps you should step up your game, Mr. Swagger. His smile is wicked.
My pleasure, Miss Hart.
I really need to learn to keep my mouth shut. I'd have been fine with plain old vanilla sex, me on my back, him thrusting and grunting inside me while I moan and claw at his arms. But when Jake Swagger steps up his game, it's like going from peewee football to the NFL. Just 1 minute you're a 3-foot-tall quarterback, missing your 2 front teeth, pausing mid-throw so your mom can take a picture, and the next you're 6'2 with a Nike endorsement, a Maserati, a supermodel to cook your dinner and another to lick your balls. Jake Swagger doesn't fuck around. Before I can even process what's happening, I'm flipped on my stomach, hips lifted, knees spread, ass up, back arched, hair fisted, head pulled back so I can see our reflection in the windows. I love how he touches me, how he slides his hand up my back and across my ribs to palm my breast, instead of just directly reaching and fondling it. It makes the lewd position I'm in feel sensual, makes me feel sexy, and makes him a good lover.
When I fuck you like this, on your knees, that pretty little ass of yours in the air, you're going to feel all of me.
His hand slides down my stomach to cup my pussy.
This sweet cunt is going to feel me for days.
The tip of his middle finger dips inside me. Then he drags the wet digit through my lips to circle my clit.
We'll start nice and slow. You tell me when you want more. I'll let you set the pace, baby.
His voice drops to a whisper.
But I decide when you come.
He kisses me softly on my temple, like I'm someone to be cherished. Like I mean more to him than an ass in the air and a quick fuck. The intimacy contradicts everything in this moment. It's exactly what I've always wanted from sex, yet I never knew it until now. My entire body thrums with this pulsing energy that will not fade. When he releases my hair to drag his hands across my spine and to my hips, I break position on a sigh. He's quick to correct me.
Ass up, gorgeous. Hollow your back. I want to see every inch of you. Watch your pussy swallow my cock. Fuck. Damn. Oh, my.
I do as he says. He wastes no time pushing inside me. I look over my shoulder and tremble when I see those gray, green, blue eyes hooded with lust, darkened with desire, lips parted as he breathes deep, his chest rising and falling as slow as his thrusts. The sight of him is as much of a turn-on as what he's doing to me. He's deep, so deep. I'm deliciously full, stretched wide. The size of him elicits sensations that border on pain, which only heightens my pleasure. My response is a continual song of loud moans that are like a cathartic release. I can't control them any more than I can control the build that stirs in my depths, or the sweat that beads on my skin, fighting the fever that burns inside me, or the need for something more, just a little, just enough to push me over the precipice. More, Jake. He drives a little harder. It's not enough. More. His hips move a little faster. It's not enough. More, please. His words get a little dirtier.
Love how greedy your fucking pussy is.
Still, I can't find my release. He pounds inside me, pistoning his hips mercilessly, bruising the back of my thighs with his own, spreading me open with his hands, baring every part of me and reminding me how much the sight turns him on. But without the touch of his tongue or his fingers on my clit, I just can't. Jake, my voice cracks, frustration builds, need becomes overwhelming. I push against him, meet his thrusts. I'm a wet, wanton mess with no shame, no humility, filled with desperation.
Tell me, baby.
He shifts behind me, and the movement causes me to stiffen. He doesn't stop, only slows his pace a fraction while I adjust. Within seconds, I'm pushing back against him again, hoping this is the angle I need. But my release is still just out of reach. I whimper. If I don't come soon, I'll combust, or at the very least, my vagina will be ravaged beyond repair. Please, Jake.
I know what you need, sweet girl. Oh, the way he talks. The deep tenor, the reassurance, the unspoken promise of delivery.
Right now, I'd do anything for this man. I've never felt the desire to please anyone as much as I do him in this moment. His hand wraps around my stomach and he lifts me, my back to his chest, his mouth on my neck, hands on my breasts. Then, oh,
oh, oh. There's the sweet spot, he murmurs,
rocking into me with long, smooth strokes. His hand slides down my stomach, finds my clit. He rubs me in the slowest, most torturous way. The build climbs, but at a pace I'm not patient enough for. "Relax. The less you rush it, the better it'll feel." He kisses my temple again. "I promise." I do as he says and relax. The feeling intensifies the higher I get until I'm to the point I'm scared of what awaits me at the top. I stifle a sob. "Jake!"
"I know, baby.
I can't..."
"Shh."
My nails dig into his thighs. My entire body becomes rigid. Breath leaves me. Behind my eyes are flashes of colors against darkness. A dull, almost silent ringing sounds in my ears. I shatter around him. Pleasure consumes me in waves. Over and over and over until I'm lying limp against him. I don't have the strength to do anything. My limbs are flaccid, and the only thing keeping me from falling is the hold he has on me. He pulls out of me and gently lays me on my side on the couch. A blanket engulfs me in warmth. My shoes are removed from my feet. His steps are silent as he walks away, probably to get a warm cloth to clean me like all the good that guys do. The lights go out. Or perhaps that's what he was doing. I anticipate the feel of his lips on my temple again, kissing me goodnight. I shiver with the idea of him sliding beneath the blanket and pulling me into his arms. I fight my sleep just to wait for his return. He never does. 13.
Penelope. The deep voice calling my name isn't Emily's. The big hand shaking my shoulder doesn't belong to her either. It's all coming back to me. Flaming dog shit. Jail. Jake. Party. Sex. Sex. Penelope, get up. I groan and pull the cover over my head.
Go away.
Loud, dramatic exhale.
Cam, do something.
Silence. More silence. I'm curious now. I roll over and peek out from beneath the blanket to see Cam sitting on the ottoman less than 2 feet from me. He grins.
Good morning, princess. You look like hell.
He looks like perfection in a suit.
It's Sunday. Why are you dressed like that?
Because I'm at work.
I look around the living room. You work here?
I do.
In Jake's house?
When I need to.
He holds up a steaming cup.
Coffee?
I prefer Mountain Dew in the afternoon. I look out the window. It's as gray as it was yesterday. It is afternoon, right?
It's 8 in the morning.
I can't keep the edge out of my voice. Then why are you waking me up?
Because I was told to.
You work for Jake, don't you? He tweaks my nose.
Nothing gets past you. Now get up, seriously.
A wave of sadness washes over me. Are you taking me home?
What is she still doing on the couch?
Jake's thundering voice turns my head. He's freshly showered, dressed in jeans and a sweater. He stomps over to us and takes a seat in the chair. Man, he looks good this morning. My thighs tingle at the reminder of how good he looked last night. I glance at the window, at the exact spot where he sank to his knees. Out of the corner of my eye, I see his gaze follow mine. I'm looking at him when he turns back. He smirks.
The things we do when we're drunk.
Ouch. That probably wouldn't sting so bad if it didn't trigger the reminder of what else happened last night. What I've been trying all morning to forget. At the party, something sparked between us. He'd told me I was the most beautiful woman in Chicago. We shared that dance. He'd held my hand for the greater part of the evening. Then we came home, and he fucked me like I've never been fucked, kissed me where I've never been kissed, said things to me that made me feel like I meant something to him. I'm not stupid or naive enough to think that he'd hopelessly fallen in love with me, and last night was the start of our happily ever after. But I'd expected more from him than this, left on the couch, alone. He treated me like a Miss Sims. I feel like one, too. He slips his shoes on and stands. His towering position over me makes me feel small. The dismissiveness in his eyes makes me feel insignificant, and the pain in my chest worsens.
I have a very important client coming over today. I need you to stay out of sight while he's here. You can use the guest bedroom. Take a nap. A shower. I don't care. But under no circumstances do you come to my office. Understood?
I have nothing to say, so I simply nod.
My assistant is working on travel arrangements for you. We should know something by the time my meeting is over.
Why is he acting like this? I've never been one to feel sorry for myself. This time is no different. So Jake Swagger wants to send me home. Today. And he hurt my feelings. It's not the first time. And just like the first time, I bottle up those feelings. I can think about them later. Or never. Right now, I'm going to spend what little time I have left here focusing on my revenge. The one thing I know better than that guy. Fine. I stand with the cover around me. It slips and nearly exposes my breast, but I catch it just in time. And I don't miss the flash of possessive heat or the warning in Jake's eyes as he plants himself in front of Cam's line of sight. I turn to hide my smile and attempt to sashay out of the room. That doesn't work. My poor vagina took a beating last night, and I'm feeling it today. So I end up taking tentative steps that I hope aren't too obvious. But leave it to Cam to shit on my dreams.
Someone slung the D last night.
Asshole. I'm not showering in the guest bedroom. After the morning I've had, I deserve a nice hot bubble bath in the aquarium-sized tub in the master's suite. I probably shouldn't have added all those bubbles and turned on the jets, though. Turns out that shit can get out of hand in a hurry. By the way, when heroines claim they're deliciously sore after a rough fuck with a hot hero, they're lying. There is nothing delicious about the way I feel today. It hurts. Everything hurts. My wallowed-out narrow channel is battered, thighs bruised, clit raw. My limbs are achy and stiff, nipples tender to touch, and my head feels like it might explode, partly from alcohol, partly from the hair pulling. Jake Swagger should have his ass beat for not checking on me, massaging me, or offering me some numbing cream for my lady parts. The first thing he should have done this morning was ask me how I was feeling, then tell me he was going to take care of me today. That's what swoony that guy would do. But did Jake do that? No. Why? Because he's an asshole. I have no clothes, so I slip into Jake's closet and sift through his. I choose a gray dress shirt that hangs nearly to my knees. After rolling up the sleeves, I examine myself in the mirror and make a mental note to steal this before I leave. If I belted it at the waist and paired it with some heels, it would be a super cute outfit.
He'd be pissed if he knew you were in here.
I meet Cam's laughing eyes in the mirror and shrug.
You like pushing his buttons, don't you?
Prove to me he doesn't deserve it, and I'll stop. I spin to face him. He's leaned against the doorway, arms crossed over his chest. What are you doing in here? I thought you were working. He lifts a shoulder.
He's pissed at me. So I walked away before he could hurt my feelings.
His smile tells me he's not the least bit worried about his feelings. Why is he mad at you?
Because of what I said about you and him.
He shoots me a wicked grin. Fucking. Oh. I'm assuming he doesn't kiss and tell?
Well, see, that's the thing that has me so confused, Penelope. He always kisses and tells. And that comment I made is one I've made plenty of times. This is the first time it's pissed him off.
I blanch. You mean you've watched other women do the bow-legged walk of shame?
He laughs. No, that was a first. But the just-fucked hair and the hungover woman on the couch always means the same thing. Someone got the D.
Cam just confirmed my worst fear. He did treat me like a Miss Sims last night, and that bottle holding my hurt feelings is just about full. But I make room, and focus on something that will make me angry instead of sad. Like the fact that Jake has ruined yet another fantasy about that guy. If he's the hero and I'm the heroine in this story, then he should have fucked me in a place he's never fucked another woman. It's official. Jake Swagger is not that guy. He is that asshole.
Always thinking. Cam grins at me and pushes off the door. I'm out of here. You need anything?
Nah, I'm good. But it'll probably be the last time I see you, so should we hug? Also, I need your number to give to my best friend Emily, because I need you to fall in love with her.
He shakes his head at me. You're nuts. And you'll be here when I get back. I'm sure of it. I want to bombard him with questions, ask him why he's so damn sure that I'll still be here. But he does that mysterious, sexy wink and leaves me on a cliffhanger. Whatever. I'm glad he's gone. I have shit to do anyway. Like find some food, make a plan, and fuck up whatever Jake has going on in his office.
Everything else is negotiable, but I promise you we'll stand firm.
Jake's voice trails off as his eyes meet mine. I'm standing in the doorway of his office, holding a silver platter with a bunch of random shit I found in Jake's kitchen in one hand, the other hand on my hip, wearing nothing but his shirt and a smile. That vein in Jake's forehead makes its presence known as he shifts in his seat. Instead of sitting in his desk chair, he sits next to his client, a middle-aged man dressed in a Stetson, cowboy boots, Wranglers, and a blazer. Perfect.
Figured you boys were hungry, I say in my thickest southern drawl.
The man stands. Jake, in his stunned-slash-angry state, is a little slower to follow suit.
Well now, the man says and smiles warmly at me. Who is this?
I detect a hint of an accent in his voice. Definitely not from around here. Not as deeply southern as mine, either.
Mr. Canton, Penelope Hart. Penelope, this is Mr. Canton. He's here on business.
Jake speaks with an edge of annoyance that he attempts to conceal with a smile that doesn't meet his eyes.
Pleasure to meet you. Cracker?
I hold out the tray.
No, thank you, dear. I had a big breakfast.
He rubs his slightly bulging stomach. Drink?
We're good. A whiskey if you have it?
Jim cuts in, shooting Jake a sideways glance.
Of course. I'll help you with that, Penelope,
Jake says, watching toward me and mouthing something about killing me once he's out of Jim's sight.
Thanks, Jake.
I thrust the platter into his hands and ignore his clenched jaw and hard eyes as I step around him and claim his seat.
I can tell by your accent you're not from around here.
I keep my gaze on the man so I don't have to face Jake's glare, but I can still feel the daggers he shoots at me. Jim chuckles as he settles back in his seat.
I could say the same about you, Miss Hart.
Call me Penelope, please.
He tips his hat to me.
All right, Penelope, and you can call me Jim. What state below the Mason-Dixon line are you from?
Mississippi. And you?
Kansas. I've been here a week on business. I was supposed to fly out a couple days ago, but the weather took a nasty turn.
I gasp and lean forward to lightly slap his knee.
Same thing happened to me.
Are you here in Chicago on business as well? He winks at me. Or some other reason?
Definitely some other reason.
Really?